Well, what's going on, City Hope fam? It is me, your boy, Chris Mack, and I'm here to preach this week. Not obviously, you guys don't know this, you aren't aware, or maybe you will be aware, who cares? This is pre-recorded, and so if I don't acknowledge you while I'm preaching, please know I still care about you. But I want you to know that Josh and I are working real hard to make sure that for quality purposes, you guys can watch this without any interference or setback or any connection issues. But I'm really excited to be able to bring the word this morning. It is Friday. It is raining outside. But also, I really enjoy rain days. They make me feel chill. And so I want this sermon to be refreshment for you guys, but also I want it to feel like, hey, in the comfort of your home, you can enjoy this, you can get cozy. I'm a very lax dude, and so you'll probably find that within my sermon. And if you aren't from City Hope, I also want to take time to thank you for tuning in. So, for those who aren't familiar with our sermon series, we're taking a journey through the book of Exodus. And right now, we're hiking through God's Ten Commandments, and I get the honor to preach the fourth. Now, some of y'all tuned in last week, and you got a chance to listen to LJ talk about God's third commandment, and that is, you shall not take the name of your Lord God in vain. And to follow that up, as I preach the fourth, I'm going to highlight a passage, Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. And if you have your Bible with you at the moment, or if you have your iPad or tablet or phone, I'll read this passage in an NLT translation. And I'll give you a little time to sift through that and to get ready. So prepare your hearts and your minds as I read this scripture. Starting at verse 8. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons, your daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day, he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. Now, here's the thing. I read this passage, and I feel in my heart there's such a huge irony as I preach this text. And the last thing I want y'all to think is that, yo, because Chris is a relaxed guy, he's got this all together. He's got it figured out. In fact, reality is I already see myself sin in this matter, right? And one of the I can give an example already. When LJ was preaching this sermon last week, I couldn't help but think to myself that Sunday, yo, I got to start working on my sermon right now. And I was working on it Saturday, right? I want you to know this too, Josh. Hey, I've been working hard on this thing, right? I was working on this before Sunday even came. But here I was, after watching his sermon, saying, I want to work on my sermon. Right? Now, some of y'all might say, hey, Chris, it's cool. You wanted to work on your sermon because you're doing the work of the Lord. It's not bad that you see your boy preaching and you're motivated by that. But I'd much rather correct that assumption, and I got to make this statement here. Just because my work is preaching doesn't mean that my motives always honor God. That being said, I had to pause and practice self-control a multitude of times last Sunday, because my motivation was actually to work ahead. It wasn't to honor God in any way, but it was just to get ahead. It was just to be diligent in my work, to move forward, to be able to prep early. That way I don't have to think about this thing. Because sermon prep is one of those things that at this point in my life, it stresses me out. It makes me nervous. I can't help but think of like all of the flaws that comes with me talking and bringing the word of God. It's a big responsibility. And so, my motivation wasn't in the right place. My point in sharing that is to point out one of three things, okay? One of three things I believe we think whenever a Sabbath day approaches. Now, that main point is that we don't trust in God's provision of rest. And I'll go into detail on what I mean by that, but before doing so, I need to lay out some context in this sermon. And after I lay out the context, we'll talk about the three M's that LJ brought up. That's the mirror, the map, and the mosaic. Mirror being, how can I see myself within this text, right? The map, finding the application in the text, and the mosaic, which is a picture of Jesus and how he perfectly fulfills these things. Now, context is key. We're going to enter into that. So before we get into that, I promise I'm going to give y'all the practical application. I know some people love that, especially in this time, and so I will provide that. So already I imagine when it comes to the Sabbath, y'all might have some technical questions on your head, such as, hey, is the Sabbath day supposed to be on a Saturday? Is it supposed to be on a Sunday? Can we Sabbath any day that we want? What's considered work on a Sabbath? Is it okay if I watch the football game on a Sabbath? Should students do homework on Sunday? Can I go out and play? Or is it sinful for me to miss church for a week because I got to go on vacation, right? So those are some questions that that I have. And to be honest, I don't have the answer to all of these questions. I don't think the Bible gives a specific answer such as, hey, it's okay if you watch the Colts game this Sunday. It's all right if little Timmy wants to go out and play baseball during baseball league. Why is his name little Timmy? I don't know. I decided to name him little Timmy. Or one of my favorites, hey, this is for my bros out there. It's God doesn't give you an answer on if you can play Super Smash Bros. On a Sunday or not. Right. What I'm saying is we're not looking for these specifics, because what happens is when we look for those specific things, we try to turn the law into things that we can achieve. Right. And so my point isn't to do that. But what I would love to do is provide the principles for us to consider within the Word of God. And so as we know, there's some gray areas. There's also some areas that aren't so gray on what's sinful and what isn't. And so regardless of all the questions or the theories you might have when it comes to the Sabbath, I need you to write down this main takeaway. The Sabbath is good for you. Y'all hear me? I know y'all hear me. All right, let's repeat that. The Sabbath is good for you. Don't point at me, point at you. No, actually point at me, because I need to remember that too. The Sabbath is good for us, and we need to write that down. This is a law where God is saying, I want you to do this thing by not doing any work. God says in verse 10, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. Now, we're going to spend a little bit of time evaluating the Sabbath in the Old and New Testament context. And what's really cool is here's some things that we see in the Old Testament. One, to keep the Sabbath, it is a moral obligation under the law of God in the Old Testament. More than that, it's a sign of the covenant of one's commitment to God. We also see that the Sabbath is on par with the other nine commandments. So we're going to go through all 10, but this is one of 10. And some of those things we see is, you know, God says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, murderer, adultery. So I think it's fair to say that, okay, this is a serious one to keep in mind. Exodus chapter 31, verse 14 states, you must keep the Sabbath day, for it is a holy day for you. Anyone who desecrates it must be put to death. Anyone who works on that day will be cut off from the community. Now, I'm not trying to use that to scare y'all. I'm just using that to talk about how serious it was for the people to consider this law, and even how serious it is for us to consider this. The word desecrate should give us an image of how serious of an offense it was. It means to move away from a sacred purpose. It isn't like consecrate, where we walk in the process of pursuing holiness. And not only that, it means putting something good to a profane use. So this means that if the people of God were choosing not to Sabbath, it meant that they were choosing to do something else. So if they're not choosing to rest like God wants them to and commands them to, for their good, they're choosing to do the opposite, which doesn't make any sense. The people had to remember that it is a command from the Lord given for their benefit to show that they were set apart and also to glorify God. And I tend to trick myself into thinking that this is one of those excusable commandments, right? So often I personally view the Sabbath as a day held loosely. And because I often hold it loose, I don't really care about what I do on this day. But God says otherwise. We have to remember that this is a commandment that is meant to worship God and keep his people in tune with him. Now, this brings up an example of my own life. Other than just holding this loosely, here's an analogy, right? And I'll use this story. When I was in grade school living with my parents, my mama noticed that I never bought shoes for myself. And some of y'all, look, this ain't meant to, like, make fun of my shoe game, so don't be lighting up the comment section. Like, yeah, I noticed you've been holding on to them kicks for a while. And that's fair. That's very fair, right? It takes my mother, it takes my sister, it takes my fiance to let me know that you need to buy yourself some new shoes, right? So I got the same Pumas there. you know those Pumas that I'm always rocking? I had them mugs for about, I don't know, maybe 3 years. I wear them till they fall off. But back into the story, right? So my mom, she notices this. And whenever Christmas comes, she gets me shoes. Sometimes they don't come in the right size. And so I have to take those shoes, get the receipt, and take it back to Finish Line or Foot Locker. So there was this one time I went to one of those stores. I think it was Finish Line. I got the money for those shoes. They didn't have the shoes that I had in size. So I decided, you know what? I'm going to just keep the money, right? Some nice little change, you know what I mean? It's about $60, $80. There's so much I could do with that. First thing I did was I spent it on food, right? I went straight to the food court. This was in a mall. I got the Chinese food in there. First, I took a sample to pretend like I needed to make sure I liked it, and then I got some. Then I think I spent some other of that money on ice cream, and then I went home. So then at that point, I come back. I give a report to my mother, and I let her know, hey, I just kept the money. And here's what she told me. She said, you don't get to keep that currency and spend it on what you want. And the reason why she said that wasn't to be harsh, but she understood that I was wasting opportunity, right? She had given me this gift specifically set apart for this reason, and I decided to take that and use it for something else. And like God, he doesn't want people to use his commandment, which is actually a gift to us, as a wasted currency. The Sabbath is a model of how God rested, and so we ought to model that gift really well rather than wasting it. Now, from Genesis all the way to the resurrection of Christ, we see the Lord model rest on the seventh day of the week. And in biblical Hebrew, the word seven is connected to the idea of fullness and completeness. And on the seventh day is when God decided to kick back, relax, and enjoy all the things that he had created. And I also love what Deuteronomy teaches, chapter 5, verses 12 through 15. Essentially, God tells his people to practice the Sabbath. But verse 15 is when God calls his people to remember that they were once slaves, but have been brought out by the Lord. What seems to be the motivating factor in this command is not just to imitate rest like the Lord, but also to remember that liberation, their liberation from slavery in Egypt. So this helped Israel remember who liberated them and that in their rest, they should embrace liberation from slavery. And as they tussle and they toil with responsibilities in a sinful world, their rest is meant to draw them back to their restful Savior. So one of the things we got to remember, even from last week when LJ preached, is that God is given so many names. And with those names, there is a responsibility that comes with that, right? So he sticks to those names and he displays them perfectly, right? And it's a big responsibility. So for us as image bearers, we see him demonstrate the importance of rest even then. Now, that's not to say that God needs rest. That's not to say at some point he got worn out and he's like, yo, I'm tired. I need to take a break. But on the seventh day, he sat back and he said, man, this is good. Right? And so for us to model that means that we get a chance to work and tussle and toil within 6 days. And on the seventh day, we get to sit back and say, man, God is good. So it's important for us to recognize that and to acknowledge the work that God does through us. But if we're always working and we're not resting, we don't take time to acknowledge those things. Now, moving into the New Testament, while one may argue that the day we observe the Sabbath is necessary, like all commandments, it's important to understand the principle of the command. And to be honest, I already mentioned, like, hey, I'm not going to tell you you need to worship only on Sunday. I'm not here to do that. That is not my chief goal here, okay? Because the reality is some choose to worship on different days, right? There's some who don't get the opportunity to worship on a Sunday because they have work responsibilities, right? There's some who choose not to work a specific job because they want to worship on a Sunday. There's some who are you know, some of you guys who are listening today, you might go to a church that does worship on Saturdays as well. And so this is where you get those different categories where you have people who are worshiping Saturday, Seventh-day Adventists. I don't know if I said that right. Adventist, whatever. Someone who worships on a Saturday. Someone who worships on a Sunday. Someone who chooses what day they want to worship on. And even me, I've grown up in a church where we had Saturday and Sunday worship as options. And so this is that space where different believers can kind of wrestle and argue with the specifics of that. I just want to point us to a verse that should help bring a little bit of relief. Now, this is in Romans chapter 14, verses 5 through 7. It says, in the same way, some think one day is more holy than another day, while others think every day is alike. You should each be fully convinced that whichever day you choose is acceptable. Those who worship the Lord on a special day do it to honor him. Those who eat any kind of food do so to honor the Lord, since they give thanks to God before eating. And those who refuse to eat certain foods also want to please the Lord and give thanks to God. For we don't live for ourselves or die for ourselves. So all that being said, like there are times when believers want to wrestle through which day to worship on. And this is me just using that not to justify, but just to keep our focus on setting a day aside to worship the Lord, right? Because one thing we can acknowledge is that God, wherever you stand, right, God has given us 6 days to work and one day to rest. That is one thing we can all come together on right here. And again, my main point is just to talk to you guys and tell y'all that the Sabbath is good for you. Now, Israel wouldn't be Israel if they saw this and did it perfectly, right? I wouldn't be human if I saw this and I did it flawlessly, which is not the case. And if this is a law that's meant to be a beneficial thing for people and for them to be able to rest, then why did they struggle to do it? And I think some of those faults are seen in Exodus chapter 16, verses 26 through 30. And here, Josh also went through this passage as we've been going through the book of Exodus. And this is the moment where where God is providing manna for the people to eat. And they decide, you know, I'm going to collect manna on this day that the Lord has told me not to. And here's what it says. Verse 26, and Moses said to them, you may gather the food for 6 days, but the seventh day is a Sabbath. There will be no food on the ground that day. Some of the people went out anyway on the seventh day, but they found no food. The Lord asked Moses, how long will these people refuse to obey my commands and instructions? They must realize that the Sabbath is the Lord's gift to you. This is why he gives you a two-day supply on the sixth day, so that there will be enough for 2 days. On the Sabbath day, you must each stay in your place. Do not go out to pick up food on the seventh day. So the people, and I'll add, finally the people did not gather any food on the seventh day. Now, I don't know about y'all, but that sounds like me, right? And I'm going to do what Josh does. Look, I'm just preaching to myself at this point, right? Maybe you guys do this a little better than I do, but this is for me, which brings us to the mirror in the sermon. And I'm sure there are a million reasons why the people failed to do this, but I got three, okay? And here's the first one. We don't trust God to provide. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend y'all. I don't trust God to provide. Maybe you do, but I don't. The people were told to prep themselves for the Sabbath day by gathering manna on the sixth day. He's saying there will be plenty left over for the seventh day, the day of rest. But unfortunately, the people did not listen, and some of them went out to hunt. They did not believe that God would provide in that case. They were not content with what they had, and for some reason, they felt like they needed to strive for a little bit more. Ultimately, I find myself wanting to be God in this way, right? Because I don't like when God controls my agenda. I don't like that he has an agenda set for me. I'd rather be in control of my own. And this goes back to my confession about last Sunday when I was talking about wanting to work on the Sabbath. I thought that it would have been a better decision for me to prep a sermon on my day of rest rather than allow God's law to alleviate me from work. Now, see, in light of everything that's been going on, it makes no sense for me to say that because we're also in a situation where everybody's quarantined. So for some reason, I have in my brain that, oh, I need to prep for this sermon. Like, I don't have enough time. But why would I need more time to prep if I'm quarantined all week? I got nowhere to go. I'm forced to rest. I'm forced to chill in the house. And yet, for some reason, I'm convincing myself, I don't have enough time. I got to do this now. And it makes no sense. But, you know, that's just me. Even in, and this goes back into, you know, things going on with the coronavirus right now. But I've seen many people give some encouraging posts on Facebook, just talking about the situation and using Joseph's situation in the Bible as a comparison, where he was once in prison in Egypt. He was enslaved in Egypt, and eventually he worked himself up the ranks to become an advisor to Pharaoh, and he runs into his brothers at one point who threw him in that situation and told them, you intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. And it's crazy how God will use something like the situation of this virus to teach us about a good thing such as rest. I'm not justifying this virus. This thing is terrible. It's taking lives. And it's a very heartbreaking situation. But even this, the Lord has something to say to all of us. And that's to acknowledge that rest is a good thing. It's also important to remember that no matter the position of the economy, no matter the shortage of supplies in the grocery stores, no matter the layoffs, he will provide for you. And it's hard to believe that right now. I get it. I don't want to act like or pretend like you guys aren't fearful or anxious about this thing, because I am. But I want y'all to know, and you can hear it from me as the Mercy Director of City Health Fellowship, it's important for me to put my money where my mouth is at this point. You'll be provided for. So if you're having struggles in this time where it's hard to get food or to pay rent or any of those, make sure to reach out to us. And I don't know if Josh is paying attention or if he's texting on his phone right now. I'm playing. I mean, I'm going to give you the thumbs up. I'm assuming he's giving you the thumbs up. He's nodding his head over there. It's cool. Reach out to us. We got mercy funds for those things. We don't want y'all to feel like God's not going to provide for you or for you to forsake your rest in this time. Even now, he calls you to do that. And it's hard to, but it's important. It's going to keep us sane, y'all. It will keep us sane. All right. A second reason it's hard to Sabbath well is because it's hard for me to plan my life around God. Right? Often, I attempt to make him plan around me. The reality needs to be that we plan around God, because God doesn't plan around me and he doesn't plan around you. Prior to working with City Hope, I just didn't think about planning around the day God told me to rest on. Growing up in high school and college, I ain't that old, right? I graduated 2015. I know that because I'm a little bald up here. I might look a little older. I'm a young sport, okay? I'm a young pup. But my time in high school and college, I started to program myself into thinking that I would work for the weekend, right? Work for the weekend. I think that's actually what most of our culture teaches us. When you work Monday through Friday, you are working so that you can celebrate and rest on Saturday, or Friday and Saturday. I forgot Friday. But what I didn't do is I didn't prepare for Sunday. Instead, I would have used that day as a work day. And so where I got Monday through Friday, actually Monday through Thursday, I would do all this work, homework. We're going to stick with high school and college. Doing all this homework on these days. Friday comes, not doing homework. Forget that. Bump that. Saturday comes, I'm not even considering it at that point. All right? But in my brain, I knew that Sunday would be a work day. And unfortunately, I would treat my Sunday as a day of seconds, right? Not as the first priority, but as seconds. And so this might be, at this point, this might be where the college students are really tuning in. But we're definitely accustomed to, I say we like I'm still a college student. You may be accustomed to treating your Sunday as a work day. And I know that we're in a strange situation right now, where y'all taking classes online. But this could also be a great time to say, hey, how do I reprogram myself to think of Sunday as that day of rest? How do I protect that day? And I want to give some clarity here. My assumption is that I'm speaking mainly to a Sunday worshiping audience, because y'all tuned in right now. So I'm going to assume that you guys worship on Sundays. And so what do you do to protect that day? Josh gave a really good illustration a couple weeks ago when we were talking about this sermon of seeing Sunday as a feast. Typically, you don't eat a ton and get full before the feast. You make room for it so you can fully enjoy that feast. And there have been times where I've left disappointed in myself for not preparing for a feast real well. Like, you know, and specifically, I'm talking about my mama here, but there's days where she's got the meatloaf ready. It's on deck. She's got the mac and cheese. Y'all done have my mac and cheese. But what y'all need to know is that I'm not the OG of the mac and cheese. Teresa Mack's the OG of mac and cheese. And mama, if you tuned in right now, I just want you to know that I'm very proud of you. Save me a plate if you can. When she prepares those green beans, those meatballs, sometimes lasagna, the dinner rolls, like these are things that I'm preparing myself for. Thinking about it now. Sorry. Here's the other thing you got to know about me. Side tangent. When I think about food, I just tend to freeze up a little bit because it's just so good. It's my love language. Food is my love language. They say there's five, that's six. Yo. And then, sorry, I'm getting so distracted. These are things you want to prepare yourself for, because I would leave in those situations like mad at myself because I ate a bunch beforehand. I ate a bunch before Thanksgiving. I ate a bunch before the family barbecue, or I was snacking. And then when I would get this main course, this main entree, and try to eat it and I get full, I'm like, dang, I could have ate so much more. Right? So what would it mean for you to prepare yourself in those moments, to prep yourself for days of rest, the same way that you might prepare yourself for a large feast? What would it mean for you to prepare to recharge your heart, your mind, and your soul before Monday comes around the corner? And I'll get into those tips. We'll get into that that practical application, but we're going to move on to point number three right here. And the last thought I have listed on why it's hard to Sabbath well is because we don't have a high view of Jesus as our satisfaction. We have to remember that rest from the Lord is not a curse. Matthew chapter 2, verses 27 through 28 says, "And he said to them," Jesus, "the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." What's important about this is Jesus determining and letting us know what he has declared the Sabbath to be. And he is declaring that this is a day for us to rest, okay? It is a day where we can find physical and mental rest. This is a day where we start to understand and manifest trust in him, knowing that God will sustain us and we don't sustain ourselves, so we don't need to work this day. It is a celebration of God and what he has made. We can also celebrate all that he is doing in us because, again, we don't take time to sit and delight in the things that God has either helped us accomplish or what he's brought us out of. We're all about speed, and we often speed past these accomplishments that the Lord has done for us. And he wants you to use this day for anticipation for the age to come. You might find that it's hard to rest in this season. But Hebrews chapter 4, verses 6 through 11 says otherwise. "So God's rest is there for people to enter. But those who first heard this good news failed to enter because they disobeyed God. So God set another time for entering his rest, and that time is today." God announces this through David much later in the words already quoted. "Today, when you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." Now, if Joshua has succeeded in giving them this rest, God would not have spoken about another day of rest still to come. So there is a special rest still waiting for the people of God. "For all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors, just as God did after creating the world." So let us do our best to enter that rest. Repeat after me. So let us do our best to enter that rest. But if we disobey God, as the people of Israel did, we will fail. That's a hard thing to do, though, ain't it? It's hard to see where we are now as a restful place. It's hard to make time to rest well. It's hard for me, even as I ponder and think about that. But we don't want to disobey God in this. He demands that we find rest. The same way that a loved one would tell you to rest if you're overworking yourself. So, at this point, y'all are looking for that general application. Like, "Chris, okay, I get it. Rest is good." Or, "I just don't know how to rest." Right? "I don't know how to rest well." So I'm going to give you some things you can try to apply here. I'm not assuming that everybody rests the same way. But here's some application. And here's some 3 points, some 3 Presby points. Y'all know how I do. The first one is you got to plan well. And a plan well means for you to ask yourself these questions. What's your Sunday rhythm like? And the reason you want to ask that is because we're creatures of habit, right? Sometimes we set rhythm in place that we don't intend to. And it might be important for you to actually take time to evaluate yourself and say, "You know what? This is what I do on Sundays. This is what I want to change." It might not be that you're just too busy. It might just be that you just don't plan well. I know I don't. So what can you do to prepare well for Sunday? Does your week in preparation say, "I cannot wait to worship Jesus on Sunday"? Or does it say the opposite of that? If people were to look at my schedule, would they see that Jesus is the most satisfying rest? Is there a reason you show up to church feeling tired, slumped, or exhausted? Did you stay up late without considering what the next day would be like? And will you choose to finish your homework on Friday or Saturday instead of Sunday? There are so many variables, and I might have missed some. Maybe the baby kept you up. Josh, amen. And yeah, there are some hiccups that make it hard to plan well. And there are some things that you don't plan for that happen. But you have time for the most part to be able to plan well for this day. And you do that because, point number two, you prioritize church worship. Now, I'm not saying if you miss Sunday worship, then you're evil. But it can become a habit. And I mentioned we're creatures of rhythm. And so we experience both healthy and unhealthy rhythms. It's also important that we make sure we are gathered with a congregation, a people who believe and celebrate Jesus together. Because a day of rest shouldn't just be used to embrace a northern perspective. I said northern, a western perspective of Christianity, right? Which is this idea of being a Lone Ranger Christian. Like, it's just me and God. I don't need anybody else. I don't even need to go to church on Sunday. I'm going to just worship the Lord. I need me time, right? And hey, you got to get some me time, right? But don't let that be at the expense of Sabbathing well with your community. Because God calls his people to reflect on him and for his people to rest well together. Because if we don't Sabbath as a community, then there's just some things we miss out on. One, we don't hold each other accountable to rest well. And it doesn't give us a chance to serve each other or to care for one another or to check in on one another. And I'm just encouraged by seeing that, seeing it being done well with City Hope. I'm not saying we do things perfectly, but I really enjoy you guys. I love y'all, man. And, and the reason I say that is because even last week, as we had service online, and most churches are at this point, it just made me so happy to like see the comment section on the side as LJ preaching, with just people joking, people laughing, likes, hearts, encouragement, praise. It just made me really miss y'all, man. And so I felt joy and grief all at the same time. But I think this is something that I really enjoy about this church is developing what it means to Sabbath within a church context and not missing out on that opportunity. And the third point I got is, and work with me on this one, bear with me, because I know we're in a culture where we like to talk about self-care. But you got to identify godly rest versus self-care. Which in this context, I'm talking about self-indulgence, right? And there's a difference between using the entire day to satisfy your flesh rather than your soul. Your flesh wants nothing to do with God, but your soul wants everything to do with God. Your flesh wants nothing to do with God, but your soul wants everything to do with God, right? And that's going to help you distinguish what it means to give into this. We're in a world where we talk so much about self-care, but we got to understand, like, what's self-indulgence and me actually caring for myself? And we're also in a world where God has created everything to be good, right? He has created this world and all that it has to offer. And so how do you navigate this flesh, your soul, your spirit, and then just these good things in between, right? Like, am I pouring into my flesh or my spirit? So I'm not saying legalism is the answer here. I'm not saying you sin if you watch Netflix on the Sabbath. Again, I'm not saying you sinful if you playing Super Smash Bros. On the Sabbath. I do that. There are some things where I just don't want you guys to hear, ooh, dang, I can't do that anymore. Or I need to talk with him afterwards about this. Well, I can't talk to you face to face, but, you know, we could FaceTime or something.
Legalism isn't the answer in this, okay? And I don't want you to hear that Sabbath is all spiritual, making the physical somehow sinful or secular. But when I think of this, I think of one of my favorite passages, Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. Oh, the joy of those who do not follow, or Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. So in that, my question is, how do the activities of your Sabbath give you the chance to meditate and rejoice in the Lord? How do the activities give you an appreciation for his gifts and the people that he's put in your life? And I think an important question is, this one's really going to hit home. Does your self-care come to the detriment of worshiping the Lord? Is your self-care the thing that causes you to avoid fellowship with the Lord? And put it this way, here's an example. Like if you had a loved one and you were committed to spending a day with them, like an intentional day each week, what would you do to be intentional about that time that you spent with them? Would they feel cared for? Would you feel connected to them? Would they feel connected to you? And, you know, I mean, maybe some of y'all connect well through Netflix. I don't know. But at some point, there has to be intentionality between you and that person. Not just being around them, not just existing around them, not just enjoying the good pleasures around them, but actually being with them. And so, again, I ask, does your self-care come at the detriment of spending time with Christ? Now, at this point, y'all are like, bro, give me some examples. Like, I need some examples. I'm not going to give you all the examples, but I can let you know what I like to do when I Sabbath. All right, one of the things I love doing. Y'all entering into my world here. I love cooking on the Sabbath, right? Not for the sake of preparing for the week, but I just love the creativity of seeing food and spices come together. And I actually do that while listening to instrumental beats. I listen to worship music while doing that. It's just me and the Lord in those moments. And again, I said food is my love language. And some of y'all can quote me on this, but y'all see me eat some really good things and I just freeze. Like, I had my fiance, her mom knows how to make really good cookies. And I had this cookie one time, for the very first time, right? I bit into this thing. This might have been like the first time I met them too, her parents. I bit into this cookie, and I just stood still for a moment. And they were like, what's going on with your boyfriend? And I was like, I just need a moment. I just need a moment. Shh. And it sounds so goofy, but I'm serious. There are times when I eat like some of the best things I've had, and I just say, the Lord is good because this tastes so good. Like, he created this cookie. I shouldn't splurge on these, but it's so good, right? And so there are good things in this world that we can enjoy and acknowledge him in, right? Another cool thing about cooking on Sundays is sometimes I prepare food for small group. I would say that a lot of y'all usually prepare more food than I do. I usually come just to eat it, but sometimes I make it, you know? I love being able to play Super Smash Brothers with my roommates because it's a healthy form of competition. Now, on the other end, I've seen myself be sinful in those areas. If they tuning in right now, know that y'all get smacked in Smash Bros. I come with them hands. Y'all don't want it. And sometimes I watch Netflix with friends. I like to read a book until I fall asleep. And then I took a good nap and I woke up and I'm like, oh, I feel rejuvenated. So all that to say, there's so many things, right? There's so many hobbies and things you can do that you enjoy and that you can give God praise for. And on the other end, I don't want to use those things to excuse not spending time with the Lord, right? I have done that. I have played Smash Bros. For more hours than I should. And then I'm like, dang, I could have spent time with Jesus. Right? I'm not going to do it because I'm busy playing this right now. Right? So, you got to know your own heart in this matter. You feel me? And that takes being with God. But also, the Sabbath isn't just about those things. It's about rejoicing in the one who provides those things. So make time to say, I'm going to spend time praying. I'm going to spend time in the Word. I'm going to go on a prayer walk. There's just so many things you can do with Jesus on the Sabbath to create good rest so that you can come fresh and ready to go on Monday. And so you can have an appreciation for what the Lord is doing. Now, the bottom line is that God has prepared rest for you, my friends. Let us not disobey. Let us hold firm to what we believe. Continue to strive to enter his rest now and strive for the day when God's rest for us is final. We are not in a final rest, and we are awaiting a final rest. So therefore, we will struggle, even in our greatest efforts of preparing for the Sabbath. But we should spend our whole lives prepping for that ultimate feast. If you're not spending your life preparing for it, then maybe you're at risk of missing it. Even now, life with the virus pandemic is forcing us to look at one thing, and that's our mortality. It shows how fragile we are right now. But we have to remember we're not destined for our final rest to lie in a land filled with death. While we're on the way, God invites us, even in a wilderness, to start living as if we are in the promised land. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30 says, "Then Jesus said, 'Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest.'" There's no such thing as heaven burdens. "Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." Let us pray. Lord, thank you so much that rest is the thing you command us to do. You give us that command, Lord, because you understand that we are fragile human beings. And because we don't always depend on you, Lord, and forgive us when we don't, we try to rest in our own hands. We try to rest, and we're doing it wrong. We try to, Lord, we just try to deem our own rest when we want to. And sometimes that causes us to overwork ourselves. We tend to say, I'll rest later. I'm going to work hard now. Lord, we try to find rest in not the best things. We try to find rest and completion in the things that you provide when they are not ultimately meant to satisfy like you do. And good things that you provide might help, God, but you are the ultimate satisfaction. You are the ultimate rest. And you give us a day to worship and to rest in you. So, Lord, I just pray that for every listener, everyone viewing this right now, that they would trust in you, that they would be willing to take those steps. Actually, Lord, that you would work in their hearts so that they would take those steps to find rest and to consider, what does it mean for me to set this Sunday apart for you, Lord? Same way that you set me apart for your kingdom. Same way Christ has died for me so that I would be set apart into a place where there's perfect rest. Thank you for that, Lord. And let us rest even in a time where it's hard to, with this virus going around. Some of us don't want to be at home as long as we have. Some of us are ready to get out. We feeling cabin fever. I know I am, Lord, and what's helped me is just remembering that each day I have to worship you. So thank you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you guys so much. Y'all have a wonderful week. But for today, make sure you rest.